We just have all these contrivances, and it's all due to the time left over from not thinking about Gurudev's mission. And Gurudev's mission is twofold, the internal mission and the external mission. The internal, of course, is doing bhajan, thinking of the pastimes, doing the prayers, oh Radharani, when am I going to address you, and all that. And the external is, how am I going to get Krishna consciousness to everybody? And then, I don't even have to think about it. All the things come to us once we're driven in either one or both, especially both of those directions, then all of the ease of facility comes. So that's my perspective on Houston, that if we get together and brainstorm every so often, or the leader of each department, you don't have departments, but either everybody brainstorming, like you're all meeting anyway every week, mm-hmm. so maybe a little part of it, or once a month, however, depending on how many things you have to do, like Rathiyatra's coming up, you could figure out, like some people didn't show up for the Rathiyatra responsibilities, so maybe other people could cover for that, but just always meditating on how to give other people Krishna consciousness. And then, within our Sangha, very interesting perspective, which the material world is also getting into more and more, is how to relate to each other. But Gurudev has already glorified Houston in, I forget where, in some place where there was strife, New Zealand. He said, you should all be like Houston, because everybody cooperates together.
Oh, he said that.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Gurudev said that, yeah.
Yeah, he's probably talking about festival that we had last year.
Yeah, yeah. It was really
good. It went really well.
2 years back.
No, well, the festival in New Zealand went well.
Yeah, okay.
But all the off-festival times, the devotees are in groups against groups.
Oh.
So he was saying that Houston's not like that, right? Mm. Does everybody in Houston get along well?
Yeah.
Pretty much, there's
not
no
too many people yet. That's why they get.
Yeah,
yeah,
maybe we
not
don't
that
have
big yet.
Small.
That's
we have.
Yeah.
We are very small.
Yeah.
So.
And just always following the principle of not, I want to be understood. You can have conflicts even when there's two people, so the size doesn't matter.
Mm.
But if the premise is always with each group or each individual, that I want to understand. Can I just say something? The phone shouldn't be on Krishna's head. Sorry. That rather than, like, I'm entering into a conversation or I'm entering into a conflict situation and there needs to be conflict resolution, or I'm just entering into meeting new people. So I have a choice of going into these situations. The choice is, I want to be understood in this situation, either conflict resolution or just meeting new people, or some controversy came up, and how do we solve it? Or I have one opinion about something and you have another opinion about the same thing. So how do I enter into that conversation or meeting? Either I can enter into the conversation, I want to be understood, that's my goal, or I want to come out happy out of this, or I want to be loved. Those three things. I want to be understood, I want to be happy, I want to be loved in this thing that I'm walking into with other people. Or I can think, I want to I want to make sure they care. Those four things. Hare Krishna. Or I can walk into any situation, any meeting, any discussion, any conflict, any meeting new people with, I want to care, I want to love them, I want to understand them, I want to hear them, rather than I want to be heard, but rather I want to hear. And rather than I don't want to be judged, rather I don't want to judge. So there's, I want to be heard, I want to make sure they care, I want to be loved, I want to be happy, I want to be understood, right? and I don't want to be judged. Those six. So that's one way, one mindset, like what you said, what's your perspective on things, right? That's one mindset or perspective on things. The opposite perspective on things is I'm going into any conversation that I want to not judge. I want to them to be happy. I want to hear. I want to understand, and I want to love them. I missed one of them.
Did you say judge?
I don't.
Yeah.
I might have. I want to care.
Love.
Understood.
Understand.
Heard. So if I walk into anything with the second perspective, then automatically my first perspective will be taken care of. Because that other person will become so happy that I have this mindset that they'll want to reciprocate by doing the same thing to me. But otherwise, everybody has that desire. I want to be understood. I want to make sure they care. I want to make sure they love me. I don't want to be judged by them. I want to be heard. No, that whole bit.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody's like that. So if two people or two groups come in with the same mentality, that's like throwing your pebbles. This is Prabhupada's example. Throwing your pebbles. People are throwing their pebbles in the pond. So when the two pebbles are thrown in different places, then the blip, then each pebble makes circles, and then those circles overlap the other circles. That's overlapping of interest. But if everybody throws the in one spot, then the circles just expand to the end of the shore.
And they'll be stronger.
And stronger, and that love expands. So, but if one person has the desire that I want to be loved, cared for, not judged, understood, and heard, because we can't control anybody else. I can only control myself, if that's possible. And then I go over to them, because I can't change them. Then they'll be so happy, because according to psychology statistics, the greatest need in human society is to be understood. It's not to eat, it's not money, it's to be understood and validated, appreciated. It's all in the same group. So when that is taken care of, the person becomes so grateful that they'll want to give their life to you, because it's the wrenching need. So that's my perspective on a few of the external realms. Is that okay?
That's good.
Okay, so now, do you want to say anything, Amaditi? I'm always shy to speak in front of you. She was my first teacher when I joined Gurudev. For years and years she would give us classes and translations of
Gurudev's
classes.
Yesterday she said guru makes guru. So.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you have a good time in India?
Oh yeah.
So, do you want to say anything?
No.
Okay, whenever you do, just say something. I'm going to read.
If I anything, I can say that time.
Okay. So I'd like to know, are there any comments on any comments or questions about what I just said before we start praying Sampur? Any comments or questions about what I... Sounds good?
Yeah, that's good.
Okay. Does it sound appropriate to...
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, do you all know Prem Samput?
In Hindu temple, when you're speaking, you can, introduction, you can tell this thing, that Hindu Dharma, what is the meaning of Hindu Dharma? About this, you can say Hindu Dharma, Hindu is not any deep, like in eternal their recognition, identification, they are Nitya Krishna Das. There is no Hindu. And Hindu Dharma, how many days before the Hindu Dharma created? And also Hindu, that is, we are saying, in this bodily we are giving that recognition, I am Hindu, you are Muslim, you are Christian, like this. But when we are left according our activities and anything, that I am taking birth again, what in my life I am doing, according my mood and everything, I am again take the birth. And that time I may be Hindu, I become Muslim. People say that time something in their Hindu dharma. What is the meaning of Hindu dharma? Sanatan dharma, Jaiva dharma,
each one.
That is everything is that is Sanatan, that never perishable, one place, never change.
Good, okay. In every Hindu situation, I'll do that from now on. You know, in any Hindu temple type situation.
Hindu temple, they are, that is that first they know that what is Hinduism. We are saying we are Hindu.
Right, right.
What Hindu? We are giving now this body conception that I am Hindu. I am saying I am Muslim, but still the Atma, our soul recognition is not. It is all eternal serving of the Krishna.
Good, correct, good, good. Gurudev does that too a lot in the Hindu temple, so I'll do that.
We are this body we are giving Krishna, so anybody coming to I am Western, according our this teaching we are get from the Gurudev Maharaj, according to soul, that you are not American, I am not Indian. You are not Canadian, you are not Mexican. All we are the eternal servant of the past, eternal servant of Krishna, then Madharagat in Meshwagman. That is.
Right, there's the general servant and the specific servant.
So, Sanatana Goswami, Mahaprabhu told, Jive Swarupa Nitya Krishna Das.
I wasn't.
That is. You don't mind. I am disturb you. Little bit. When you are giving that time, first I am thinking, sometimes we must give this type of introduction. It is Hindu temple I came, but how you are saying Hindu temple? You can give it Sanatana Dharma temple.
Right, because the name of the temple was
Hindu.
Hindu
dharma, Hindu. How much? It is not Hindu dharma so ancient. And it is change.
True.
Muslim dharma change.
True.
Christianity, but Sanatana dharma never change.
Yeah, right.
Good.
What is Sanatana? Jeev is Sanatana. And Bhagavan is Sanatana. And that devotion is Sanatana.
Mm.
So this is a Hindu word, you know from where it came? Hindu word.
Hindu, it is not our, it is bodily our.
No, but from where it came, this word?
Sindhu.
Sindhu.
Right. From
Sindhu.
It is upper Bhamsa.
And slowly it got changed to
Hindu.
Right. Just
right.
By talking.
But it is the, in the Sindhu Nodi, who are people living there, they are called Hindu.
No, this is just
civilization.
Given people by like talking with generation. It's nothing with religion.
Yeah, there's no religion like Hindu.
Mm. So they are saying that I am Hindu, knowing we protect our dharma. What dharma? Hindu dharma. We protect.
I guess you could say that that's a contradiction of terms, because Hindu is a temporary, actually imaginary nomenclature, and Dharma means that which cannot be separated from the person.
Dharma,
so it's two
like
opposite
the
things.
Water dharma is liquid. Like this. Water dharma, what is water?
Liquid.
In any condition, this becomes bara of ice. That is not his dharma. Now you believe. What coming my mind?
Didi Masham Ji, you what are you saying? Dharma.
Dharma is what he
says.
Dharma is a property, like.
It doesn't change the
cause, nature,
it's
one thing.
Constitution.
It's
nature.
Jo tum ho, dharma ho gaya.
Jo change hote bhi time.
Mane jiske liye hum dharan se dharma shabd aaya hai. Jo dharan karte hue.
Mm-hmm.
जैसे हमने अभी अभी बताया ना जल का धर्म क्या है तरल
होता
अभी कोई कारण थी उनको बर्फ बन गया तो अभी तो उनको धर्म नैमित्तिक धर्म बन गया कोई कारण से गौरव बन गया वो नैमित्तिक धर्म बोला जाता है ये सब हिंदू धर्म धर्म ये सब नैमित्तिक धर्म
जल है वो
जल में तरलता होगा जल बोलने की तरल बर्फ को जल नहीं बोलेंगे
उसमें हमारा धर्म जो हुआ वो सनातन
बना हुआ जीव का जीव के आत्मा भगवान को दास माए दास माए उनको पूजा उनको
उनके साथ
सीधा बात
तो हिंदू हिंदू इस कोई वो धर्म वो नहीं है
वो तो बना हुआ
बना हुआ एक वो बन गया है नाम
जैसे मुसलमान चलो दीदी
ओके ओके सो sometimes
it is more higher than this dharma
but we have to have the platform
yeah.
otherwise the palace falls into the sea so many times we'll chant Hare Krishna and we'll have so many be bombarded with the thoughts of the day and money problems and society friendship and love problems or body problems or just mental spacing out here and there problems
mm-hmm.
and we're trying to focus in and think about Krishna which mm-hmm. is there's so many rules and regulations but the main rule is to always think of Krishna and the supportive negative principles to never forget him even for a moment so the reason that it's so much easier to think about material things while we're chanting because that's what we hear and that's what we speak most of the time and so when we start chanting that's what the mind is filled with
mm-hmm.
so the more the mind is filled with topics that should be thought about while chanting the more we'll have that opportunity so therefore we're going to read the Prem Samput and many of you already know Prem Samput but we'll read it just to put it in our minds further so that when we're chanting we have something progressive to think about and the chanting will have its effect and anybody can interrupt at any time with a question or a comment so loving attachment has a particular nature that is extraordinary within the heart of the lover here? Okay. Hare Krishna. Within the heart of the lover, a yearning may spontaneously arise to hear from his beloved's mouth about the excellence of her love for him and the inferiority of his love for her. So Krishna is the origin of everything. Janmadhyasyaton vayadichvatashtratesa begyansura. Everything is coming from Krishna. So whenever we have that kind of thing, oh, I want to hear from my beloved's mouth what he really thinks about me, and I want to hear about the inferiority about my love for him or her and the superiority of her or his love for me. Or any thoughts in that area about such kinds of relationships, it's all a perverted reflection of this. This is the reality, the thing to think about. As we were reading this morning from the 15th chapter of the Gita, this material world is a perverted reflection, an upside down banyan tree reflected in the muddy river, situated on material desire. As the upside down tree reflection is situated on the water. So what we're reading now is the reality. And any other thoughts that come in our mind, oh, I have to change my wallpaper or the frame of my picture isn't exactly the right size. Just all these innumerable multitudes of thoughts have nothing to do with reality. This is the reality. And as Rai Ramananda told Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the only thing worth thinking about. Early one morning, under the control of such love, Brajendranandan Sri Shamasundar the unrestricted carefree enjoyer of Ras, disguised himself as a young woman of heart-stealing beauty and went to the courtyard of Srimati Radhika, the dear darling daughter of Bhushabhanu Maharaj. Covering his lotus-like face with a crimson veil, he appeared before Srimati Radhika, his eyes bashfully lowered. Previously, on the night of the Rasa dance on the banks of the river Kalindi, Sri Shyamasundar had accepted defeat in the midst of the gopis. At that time he had told them, "I am not able to repay my debt to you all." Now he was absorbed in the same mood of loving attachment he had conveyed with those words. In other words, he's feeling indebted to Radharani. Thus, desiring to hear his beloved Radha speak proudly and unhesitatingly while in her affectionate, sulky mood, he disguised himself as a lovely young lady. These are the moods of the lover, Nayaka, and the beloved, Nayika, that are especially described in Sri Prem Samput. I was just hearing on the MP3 last night, Gurudev was asking somebody to explain the verse Harer Nama, Harer Nama, Harer Nama Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nastyeva, 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 Gatira Nita. You all know what that means? Can somebody say? In this age of Kali, only the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, only that chanting, only the chanting of the holy names of Krishna can give liberation. There's no other way, no other way, no other way than the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. So if somebody was explaining that, Gurudev asked them to speak, and then Gurudev said, "But that's not the deep meaning. What is the deep meaning?" The deep meaning is, Harer means Hare. Hare is the vocative of Hara, Radharani. Only Radha Nam, Radha Nam, Radha Nam. There's no other way for liberation. So to understand the love of Radharani, that's the highest goal of our life, isn't it? Because without understanding somebody's love, or by without understanding somebody, how do you know how to serve them? If you don't know what their thoughts, their moods, their happinesses and distress, what makes them cry, what makes them laugh, how do you know what to do? Like you, I'm looking around, I see you all have kids, have or have had kids, and when the baby is crying, you need to know if it needs to be diapered, it's cranky, it needs to go to sleep, or if it's thirsty for milk. Otherwise, you'll do the wrong thing. So, by hearing and reading Prem Samput, then we get to understand Radharani's love, so then there's more of an opportunity to come to serve it. Because without knowing the goal, how can you have the process to get there? Well, I want to understand what? I want to think about
what?
So we have to be hearing in order to try to think about something. And then have the discipline to think about it soon after we heard it. Like Gurudev gave a lecture last year in Badger that if I'm saying something now, or the previous year, if I'm saying something to you now, and then you, after the class, you talk about that thing with each other, then it will go in the heart. And if you talk about something else, it will evaporate. Even though you spent so much money to get here, it will all evaporate if you don't talk about it and think about it right after. When Vrishabhanu Nandini Srimati Radhika saw the charming young woman in the distance, she addressed her dear friends, Sri Lalita. "Oh, Sakhi Lalita, look, just look. Who is this beautiful young woman adorned with astonishing ornaments? The glow of her lotus-like face rebukes the luster of lotus flowers, and the radiance of her sham-complexioned body illuminates our courtyard. Our whole house appears to be decorated with sapphires." And I'll interrupt myself again to again express the importance of actually understanding that this is the reality. Radha and Krishna together are the absolute truth. Krishna is the only truth, and Radharani is Krishna's power. Without power, something can't exist. Without energy or potency, something doesn't have the potency to exist even. So without Radha, Krishna doesn't even, he's nirvishesh sunyavadi, nirakara. So together they're the absolute truth. So if I think, oh, I'm not qualified to think of these things, I don't want to indulge myself, I have so many practical worries to think about, so many practical duties, that's automatic. We don't have to try that. This is what we have to try. So first we hear, and then we try. But this is the reality. It's not an indulgence. The glow of her Lord... Okay, we did that. Our whole house appears to be decorated with sapphires. That's the faith, faith in Guru, that he says this is the reality. The real banyan tree on the land is the reality. On hearing Srimati Radhika's words, Lalita and Vishakha quickly approached the young maiden and inquired, O slender-waisted girl, who are you? Where have you come from, and why have you come here? Please remove our curiosity by answering these questions. But that young girl did not reply. When she did not answer, Sri Radhika became even more curious. After careful thought, she came before the disguised Sri Krishna and inquired, O beautiful one, who are you? The luster of your limbs has stolen our minds. Are you a divine maiden? Upon beholding you, it seems that you have appeared before us embodying the entirety of the world's beauty. Still, the pretty young maiden did not reply. O Bhavani, beautiful woman. See, there's only Radha and Krishna. All Krishna sees is Radha and all Radha sees is Krishna. Sri Radhika inquired, It is you who have come here to us. So please introduce yourself at once and remove our curiosity. In other words, we're asking you questions, you're not giving any answers, but we didn't come to your house, so you should answer us. O shy one, in our company there is no reason to be timid or reserved. Please understand that we consider you to be our intimate friend. When the young maiden, Sri Krishna, heard Srimati Radhika's words, she sighed deeply. Actually, mere words cannot describe her response. She turned her face away and continued to remain silent. Upon seeing the girl's condition, Sri Radha asked, O beautiful one, I understand that your heart is certainly in pain. Otherwise, you would not act like this. O lotus-faced one, with full trust in us, please openly and clearly tell us about your pain. I will try my best to nullify the cause of your anguish. When, within the heart, a deep wound of despair opens, the unbearable anguish one suffers can be mitigated by revealing it to intimate friends. Are you now suffering separation from your beloved? Or have you become exceedingly perturbed upon discovering some shortcoming in him? Like, you know, you marry somebody because you think he's going to be perfect and then I have to spend the rest of my life with this person. Or have you committed some great offense that has shattered the affection of your beloved? Is that why you are fearful? Perhaps, in order to destroy the love and affection that your beloved has for you, some wicked person has falsely accused you of a misdeed, although you actually have done no wrong. Is that why you're so happy? Does this all sound familiar to everybody? Why? Because whenever you have a reality, you have a perverted reflection. So therefore, we don't have to waste our time in the reflection, thinking about this in relation to us. We can go right to the reality and think of ourselves as, I know I'm a maidservant, even though I can't really relate, just looking at my body the way it looks now, or looking at my mind the way it is now. But I have faith in my guru that I am that. So if I practice, like if you have a rock, and you have a rope, and you go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, nothing's happening. But if you keep going back and forth, back and forth, eventually it starts withering away the stone and creating an impression, that rope. So impression, impression, repeating, repeating, hearing, hearing, remembering, remembering, praying, praying to be able to do it. Or in Gurudev's words, karte, karte, karte. Is it that you have realized that the one you have wed is dull and unlucky? Is it that you would never have married him if you had known before, and now that you know, you're disinclined towards him? Or has your heart become attached to the most wonderful person who is unattainable? Alas, alas, do you feel dejected because, like me, you are subject to the constant harsh reproach of scornful elders? Everybody sees everybody else in relation to them, because we think that we're the center of the universe. So again, these are just perverted reflections of this. The continued silence of the beautiful young damsel only served to increase Sri Radha's apprehension. O comely one, she said, has your co-wife become proud, intoxicated by her tiny drop of good fortune? Has her intelligence become corrupt, and as a result she has pierced your heart with the arrows of her sharp words? No, surely this could not happen to you. I cannot believe there's a young woman in the entire universe who's more fortunate than you. You could not possibly have a co-wife. Why would a man who has married a wife endowed with all good qualities ever abandon her to marry another? O moon-faced one, we have heard from Bhagavati Purnamasi Dasi Devi that there was once the incarnation of the Supreme Lord named Mohini, who was so extraordinarily lovely that she could enchant even the great Mahadev Sankar. Are you that Mohini? Tell me, who is it that you hope to infatuate with your fascinating beauty by coming here unexpectedly? See, no matter what shape Krishna comes in, Radharani is totally absorbed. Later on we'll find that this Krishna girl is saying very bad things about Krishna. And then Radharani tells him, you know, generally if somebody says bad things about one's beloved, you kind of hate that person, you don't want to talk to him. But in this case, I'm attached to you as much as I'm attached to the person that you're saying bad things about, and I don't know why. So, you know, in the scriptures it says that God is in everything and everything is in God. And one should see that way. Prahlad Maharaj also said, one should see in all moving and unmoving things the presence of God and God in all the things. And such a person is a Mahabhagavat. So who's the biggest, greatest Mahabhagavat of the Mahabhagavats? Radharani. She's saying, in Krishna, she's saying everything. She's saying to Krishna, oh, are you Mohini? Oh, are you a wife? Oh, are you a this and that? And then when she sees anything else, she thinks that it's Krishna. Like, oh, Tamaltri. She doesn't say, oh, Tamaltri. She says, oh, there's Krishna. I should embrace him. When she sees a cloud, she thinks, oh, Krishna, how could you have done that to me and left me for another woman? Go back to where you came from. Because the cloud has a little bit relationship. It's kind of like the same color. Sham. Ganesham. Tell me, who is it that you hope to infatuate? Is it true that Sri Mahadev was captivated by you and that you were not in the least attracted to him, but by your sidelong glance were to pierce? Okay, you weren't attracted to Shankar, to Lord Shiva. But I'll tell you one thing. If your sidelong glance were to pierce Sri Hari, and if he were to shoot a sidelong glance back at you, you would surely become utterly bewildered. There is nothing to compare with your beauty, nor with the beauty of Krishna. See, Prem is mad. Now we're mad, right? We're haunted by the ghost of Maya. And Prabhupada imitated being somebody haunted by the ghost of Maya. I am this body. Everything in relation to this body is mine. So now we're already mad. Like, now I'm angry. Now I'm happy. Now I'm hopeful. Now I'm yearning. Now I'm lamenting. It's all ghostly haunted emotions. Like a crazy person. So where does this craziness come from? It comes from the reality. Radha and Krishna. If you saw one another, you would both become so enamored by each other's beauty that you would violate the boundaries of self-composure. Krishna can only love himself anyway, right? Because there's nobody else to love. Nobody else in existence, is there? So actually Radharani's right. Krishna can only love Krishna. And an exceptional and amazing rus would appear from your mutual attraction. So, as Gurudev often says, within rus, there's tattva is there. All the philosophy, all the science of God is there in the pastime, as we can see.
You said that Krishna can only love Krishna, but what about Krishna's love towards Radharani?
There's nobody else but Krishna. Radha is also Krishna.
Okay, that, okay.
Another question is, you said that everywhere they see, Radhika sees Krishna and Krishna only sees Radha. But if he only saw Radha, then how could his love be so divided?
I was wondering how, if somebody was going to ask that question. There's Vaikunthana,
mm-hmm.
who loves Lakshmi. There's Ram, who loves Sita.
Mm-hmm.
There's Dwargadish Krishna, who loves his 16,000 wives and gets divided. And then he has so many kids and grandkids, it comes out to a million family members. And he even gives his attention to us. But Krishna's highest feature is Radhakant, Radhanath, Radharaman, and that's only Radha. All the other parts of Krishna, all the other amounts, like Ram
mm-hmm.
and Mahavishnu, who has his consort of Rama Devi, right? They're all within that Krishna, who only sees Radha, and all the others are just coming from her. And they're all Ansas of the Ansi, and all the feminine counterparts are part of her. And it's all within that Krishna. Then if he wants to take a piece out of him, that'll become Ram. If he wants to take another piece out of him, that'll become the Sringadev with Lakshmi and Saraswati. Follow? In the ultimate issue, there's only Radha and Krishna.
And Radha is also...
Radha is also Vinashakti. It pertains
to Radha. Right.
Radhani means.
Right.
When Krishna wanted to play pastime, that time Radha Krishna Radhani manifested.
Exactly.
Like this.
Like that. Understand?
Yes, but it's not totally clear still, I think, to me anyway, that her love is completely undivided and one pointed, so it's so high. Like,
okay, let me say this then. There's one verse that's in the Rai Ramanan Sambhad and also Adi chapter 4. I don't think I remember the Bengali, but it's Krishna is the embodiment of bliss. Krishna tastes bliss. It's two different things, right? Krishna is the embodiment of bliss and Krishna tastes bliss. And he gives bliss to his devotees, right? These three things Ladini Karan. The Ladini Shakti, Radharani, is the source of Krishna being the embodiment of bliss. She is the cause of Krishna being able to taste bliss. And she is the cause of Krishna giving bliss to his devotees. So the fact that Krishna is Bahunista is also Radharani's power. Does that make more sense? It won't become completely clear, Gurudev said, as long as you think you're a lady or a lad. Get it? As long as we think that we're the body, nothing's going to be clear. Because we're trying to put our material experience on that realm. How can God, who's a little boy of 7 years old, lift a mountain? Because all the people that I know that are seven or that have a shape can't lift such a big mountain. I mean, you can't even balance it. So when we're trying to put, therefore, if God is to be great, he must be formless. Because anybody with a form, he has a beginning and an end, doesn't he? He has a width and a length, and a top and a bottom. So logically speaking, if the absolute truth is to be the greatest, it's got to be formless. What else? So when we try to put our material experience on that realm, we come out with frustration and incomplete inability to understand. Somebody asked Prabhupada once, how come Prabhupada answered, God is, he said, if God doesn't have some inconceivable things, what is the meaning to his being God? So if we can like sort of kind of understand it with our intelligence, we're doing good.
I have a question.
Is that all right?
Yeah. I have a question. It might not make sense though. We are talking about that if we cease to be a lady or a lad, you said, right? But here we are seeing him or as a lady and she's very beautiful with all the decoration. So how can we detach ourselves from a personality that we are thinking is so beautiful in human form? Like we, everything we're talking about is like a human form and the decoration and the jewels. And then we say, stop thinking about a body. So how can we
detach thinking
ourselves?
About a material body.
Yeah, right.
And do think about the real body,
right.
The spiritual body.
Yeah.
Because this isn't really a body.
Right.
It's just pus, blood, stool and urine.
Yeah.
A clump of it, and only because the soul is inside and the soul has a form,
yeah.
Therefore the body looks like it has a form, like, you know, a glove? A glove?
Mm-hmm.
When you put a glove on, the glove looks like a hand,
right.
Or a shirt starts, you know,
yeah.
Looking like a person, but when you take it off, even a sari looks like it has a form, and it's just a piece of flat cloth, and then as soon as you take it off, it reveals itself to be formless. So matter is formless, it's just atoms.
Mm-hmm.
Only because it's on the soul,
mm-hmm.
who is a person, does it look like it's a person. So we stop thinking, I am this lady and he is that man. But I think that she is the real lady and Krishna is the real man. Sita is the real lady, Rama is the real man. This is just pus and blood and stool and urine. But I'm calling it a lady or a man. It's just ultimately atoms. But Krishna, you can't break into atoms. His form is eternal and ever fresh and new. It never changes, but it's always, what's the word? It's always ever fresh. It's always newer and newer and newer and more unfolding. Does that sort of make sense?
Somewhat, but still, you know, we are just, I mean, I'm not able to connect with the bodily form that he's appearing as a girl with everything in front of her. And then we are talking about the abstract.
What abstract?
That he's a soul, don't think about in terms of a man or a woman.
That's
so
only for us.
Beautiful body.
But God
has
soul
has no form.
Huh?
Our soul has a beautiful
form. Our soul has a beautiful form. And when the body of pus, blood, stool is on the form of the soul, it looks like it has a form. Just like a sari, my sari looks like it has a form because it's on me, but if you take it off me, it's just a flat blob of cloth. Does that make more sense? Like, dost thou wert, dost thou beast, it says in the Christian Bible. When, like, my mother is jumping around and dancing, but after she dies, I bury her because I can't stand to look at it anymore. Because the soul is gone, it just immediately reveals itself as morbid matter. And then after a little while, it just becomes dust and some skeletons, and then even the skeletons disintegrate. Because there's really no person there. The person is the soul. But for Krishna, he doesn't have a material body over his soul, he's just plain soul. And he's the supreme soul, God. So that's a real man, and Radharani is a real lady. She's his feminine counterpart, or his power. Does that make a little more sense?
Yeah.
Everything becomes more clear when we accept initiation from a bona fide guru, and under his direction we chant Hare Krishna, because at the time of initiation he injects us with the seed of pure nam chanting, and that can gradually develop into Shuddhana, at which point everything becomes known to us, everything becomes clear. Is that a little helpful? So as Krishna disguised as a celestial damsel continuously drank the nectarian words flowing from the lotus mouth of inquisitive Sri Radhika, he felt a transcendental rapture well up in his heart, and the hairs of his body stood up in ecstasy. See, even this we can't relate to because, like, as far as I'm concerned, she's just asking him, how do you feel? Are you this? Are you? It just sounds like nothing. But it's transcendental, and when coming from her, it includes all the innumerable universes, all the Vedic scriptures, the whole Srimad Bhagavatam is in her words, oh beautiful damsel, do you have a terrible co-wife? All the Vedic literatures are included in there, and Krishna experiences that. So, along with reading and hearing, we also pray that please, embodiment of all of Krishna's pastimes, personification of all of Krishna's pastimes, Yoga Maya, please take away all of my material associations and emotions while I read this. O Gurudev, O Prabhupada, you're sitting with me as my Shiksha Guru. Please take me into the deepest, enter me into the deepest realm of understanding this transcendental literature. We don't really understand anything about it. Zero. Like I told Gurudev, on one of the very first times I met him in 1992, I had an intellectual understanding of the philosophy, but no real realization or experience, because I was traveling around the world and preaching before I met Gurudev. So I expected him to say, intellectual understanding is not everything. Wouldn't you have expected him to say that?
No.
But instead he said, intellectual understanding is no understanding. It's like, just imagine if you've never had, you know what a jackfruit is?
Yeah.
Could you somehow or other imagine that you've never had a jackfruit? You've never seen a jackfruit, okay?
Yeah.
Somehow or other, just imagine. I know you're from India. I know you know what a jackfruit is. But try to imagine that you haven't, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen a jackfruit, I've tasted it, and I'm going to explain to you what a jackfruit is, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It looks like, and it's about the same size as a punched-in basketball. It has the texture of a man who hasn't shaved in about 5 days. Or you could say it has the texture and looks of an alligator. It tastes kind of like a combination of a potato and an apple. It's really delicious. And it's really gooey also, like a hard, like a soft-boiled, like a gooey egg before it's boiled. And like that. Does this give you some idea of a jackfruit?
No.
So, even if a self-realized person is speaking to you, to us, we can't understand it from where we are. But because he's a powerful speaker, he's from that realm, and he has what he's saying. He's just not speaking like I'm just speaking. He's injecting by his glands, by the sound vibration, by the prana atoms coming out of his body, he's injecting gradually the reality within us, so that one day this will become a reality. So we hear, we practice, we remember, we repeat, and we pray that it should become a reality. And we give up all those things that are impediments to our accepting it as a reality. Like if I talk pajalpa, if I talk gossip, that's going to hurt my understanding. So, all right, I'll give it up. But this is what I want. If we have the goal in mind, then the path to get there is easy. Just like you all came from your houses, and you knew that you were coming to Lakshmi and Lakshmi Didi and
Vinod
Vihari Prabhu's house, right? So if you didn't know where you were coming and you're in your driveway, would you even be able to know which way to turn your car, even to start? So first the goal has to be there and then the path becomes easy. When Sri Radhika saw this, that is, what did she see? As Krishna, disguised as the celestial damsel, continually drank the nectarian words flowing from the lotus mouth of the inquisitive Sri Radha, he felt a transcendental rapture well up in his heart, and the hairs of his body stood up in ecstasy. In order to hide this, he covered his limbs with his veil.
Mm-hmm.
And you see that here.
Yeah,
you see it there also.
Yeah.
See it there, right. When Sri Radhika saw this, she imagined that the damsel must have some kind of bodily ailment. Oh, Saki, she asked, are you experiencing some discomfort in your body? Are you feeling some pain in your chest, your back, or your head? In this way, Sri Radhika guessed about the young maiden's illness. "Oh, friend Vishakha," she said, my honorable father fondly sent me a precious medicinal oil that is a sure remedy for all kinds of ailments. Please quickly bring it from the house. The nature of love and affection is such that if an article dear to oneself is used for one who is near and dear, its very existence becomes meaningful. Oh, Sakhi Vishakha, I feel a deep affection for this Sakhi who has just arrived. This oil, which removes all diseases, is a manifestation of my father's love for me. Hence, I will use it to massage the beautiful girl's entire body with my own hands. I will also skillfully massage her head, then all her suffering will be relieved. And listen, bring some warm water mixed with the finest healing ingredients for me to bathe her in. I will alleviate her suffering, and then her lotus-like face will appear happy. See, in the spiritual world, which is a world of absoluteness, everything is absolute. So when somebody says something, it's reality. It's happening. Like if she says, "Oh, I will bathe her with my own hands in warm water and give her this oil." So Krishna's listening to this, and he's thinking that it's happening. And then it is happening, because everything there is absolute. So what could Krishna want more? And listen, bring some warm water mixed with the finest healing ingredients. We did that. Oh, Sakis, I have spoken sweet and gentle words to this girl. Now, even sometimes, I forget whether it's Krishna Bhavanamrita or Govinda Bhavanamrita, but it describes that when Radha and Krishna are there with all of their relatives and friends, in the morning when Krishna is going cowherding, they're very far away from each other naturally. So the way the sun is coming, his shadow is on the ground and her shadow is on the ground, and their shadows touch. And they feel like they're touching because everything is absolute. Oh, Sakis, I have spoken sweet and gentle words to this girl, and I have told her that I will personally give her an oil massage and other beneficial treatments. With an open heart, I have honored her and shown her sincere affection. Yet still, I have not heard a single word from her lips. She's being deceptive about the nature of her ailment and just sits there with a doleful face. Now I shall administer a new treatment for this lovely girl's disease, just as the divine nectar tonic given to me by Dhanvantari cures any disease. This remedy will remove within a second all the diseases of her body, life force, and senses. It will especially serve to nourish her body. Listen, and I will tell you more about this new treatment. Until now, the Sakhi has been sitting here, overcome by some incurable disease, and incapable of uttering a single word. However, if her whole chest were touched by the lotus-like palms of the Lord of the Kunjas, she would soon start to talk, giggle, and sob. Having experienced the indescribable pleasure of the touch of Rasika Shekhar, Sri Krishna's hand, just like you were saying, Shyamala Didi, that Krishna, he loves so many and she loves only him. But everybody's really an expansion of Radharani for his pleasure. All the gopis come from her, even Chandravali, even her rival. All the jivas, Govardhan. So, having experienced the indescribable pleasure of the touch of Rasika Shekhar Sri Krishna's hand, she would murmur indistinct sounds. What more can I say? She would assume such a radiance, like if a lover and a beloved here in this world are loving each other and murmuring indistinct sounds, what's the next thing that happens? They both become cats and dogs and crows and pigeons in their next life. And they can coo as a pigeon in the material world and eat vomit. That's what pigeons eat in this material world. And it's all a perverted reflection of the indistinct sounds of Radha and Krishna, which is the only, who are the only reality. It's kind of dangerous here, isn't it, to be in the perverted reflection and try and imitate them. Phew! Stealing everything that belongs to them, imitating them. Pretty sick. What more can I say? She would assume such a radiance that we would all laugh together without end if she was touched by Krishna. Her body would manifest all the signs of having met with Krishna, and by his touch all kinds of exceptional symptoms would manifest. This would make us happy. When Sri Krishna, who was disguised as a heavenly damsel, heard Srimati Radhe to speak in this way, a gentle smile appeared on his face. He concealed the smile, but then slightly raised his lowered, lotus-like face. With the charming fingers of his left hand, he gently brushed a stray curl from his forehead and pulled his veil down over his head a little further. The disguised Sri Krishna assumed a sweet voice of a young lady and showered alluring words as sweet and nectar upon all those present. Like chicory birds, Sri Radha and her sakis drank every word with eager hearts. In this way, they experienced supreme bliss and felt such astonishment that mere words cannot describe. Upon hearing the sweet talk of the beautiful new girl, they reveled in a bliss equaled only to the rapture they felt upon hearing the talk of Sri Krishna himself. The new Saki said, O beautiful Sri Radha, I am a damsel from the heavenly planets. Please hear why I have come to you with an agitated heart. I have a desire to know something about a particular matter, and who but you could fulfill my desire? Upon hearing these words, Radhika said, O lovely one, you have introduced yourself as a heavenly damsel. This is surely not false. In fact, I guessed as much even before you spoke, because no woman in the mortal world can rival your beauty. Your beauty is incomparable and unprecedented. Indeed, you are in a class of your own. How could she not know that it's Krishna? She's sitting right in front of him.
Yeah.
He smells like Krishna. He exudes the same, he brings about in her the same kind of feelings as Krishna. Only by Yoga Maya, Krishna's wish-fulfilling, spiritual deluding potency. Oh, you whose face resembles an autumnal lotus. Because without Yogamaya, she's going to know that she's Lardini Shakti and she's not going to be able to have any loving pastimes. I've considered many possible reasons for your sadness, such as feeling separation from your husband, and I've told you of them, but actually I was joking. Please do not take offense at my words. Now, you have become affectionate towards me, and I have become yours. The celestial damsel said, Radha, you are my Saki. Why are you so reserved? Although I am a heavenly damsel, I have become your subordinate. Do not doubt it. I constantly yearn to be your maidservant, so that I may experience one drop of the ocean of your love, beauty, and qualities. Haven't we heard this before?
Mm-hmm.
Where did we hear this? Shri Radha Pranaya. Krishna wanted, she had three desires. He wanted to understand her love and what she experienced
and
her, the happiness that she feels. So he said, I'm yearning. I'm just your subordinate, and I'm yearning. I just want to be your maidservant, and I just yearn to experience one drop of it. So what did he have to do? He had to become Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Mm-hmm.
Please listen carefully while I tell you why my heart feels such anguish, and then dispel the doubt that causes me this despair. Your nectar-sweet words have fallen like soft rain upon my heart, but they do not have even the they do not even slightly soothe the distress within it. O Sakhi, the flute song that is heard in Sri Vrindavan has also entered our heavenly abode. Its power is such that the chaste ladies there no longer wish to embrace their husbands. In fact, the mere thought of doing so disgusts them because they heard this flute song in the heavens where I live. When the Lord of the universe, Sri Krishna, attracts their minds and their hearts, their thoughts no longer run towards a mortal husband. Anything connected with Sri Krishna has this power. The slightest connection completely removes the desire to enjoy whatever is material. This flute sound is as sweet as nectar, but it is mixed with deadly poison. Anyone who hears it feels an unprecedented joy as if they are tasting nectar, but afterwards, when they have not attained Krishna, they suffer sharp pains as if they have been poisoned. The moment that sound enters the ears of the heavenly damsels, they desire to enjoy with Krishna in every way. This is not really true to the extent that she's saying it, that Krishna's saying it. It's really Krishna speaking to the gopis, to Radharani and the gopis. Bewildered by the high fever of amorous love, their bodies blaze like fiery coals. Their husbands embrace their burning bodies. Again, they quickly release them because they're burning. What sudden illness is causing my wife's high temperature? They wonder. As soon as anyone hears the sound of Sri Krishna's flute, the desire to meet with him manifests in his heart, making them restless. This is the power of Sri Krishna's flute song. This is our desire also. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings, what is that song? When I hear the flute of Krishna, I'll just stand up and sit down and stand up and Krishna and sit down and wonder what to do next. Palyadasi? Yeah. When will I become a Palyadasi? So this is really the goal, to hear Krishna's flute. Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami said that's the goal, is to hear the flute and join the rasa dance. And Prabhupada also in 1968, he was doing initiation ceremony in New Vrindavan, and he said the goal of this initiation ceremony is that one day, he said it's not just the formality, it's so that one day you'll be able to enter the rasa dance. Now, do the Manjaris also dance in the rasa dance? Can anybody say?
No.
They don't? How do you know?
Just hearing.
They know, they do. They do dance. But they don't dance as enjoyers of Krishna. How do they dance? Suppose they dance when they play their instruments, right? To make good music. And suppose Radharani is dancing and her ankle bells are playing music that inspires Krishna's flute playing. He's inspired by hearing her. You know how like when you have an akirtan and mridanga player hears the cartels and the cartels hears the gongs and they all get inspired by each other, and then the kirtaniya. So when Radharani is dancing, accidentally her ankle bell clasp opens and the ankle bell flies off. So then the Manjari will dance very, very quickly, looking like she's just dancing, to the place where the ankle bell landed and come back so quickly that it didn't even have time to stop Krishna's flute playing. So they also have dancing duties.
So they're there to help Radharani and Krishna to...
That's their whole life.
They just help the Radharani or the Krishna?
By helping Radharani, they're helping Krishna.
But again, so could be dancing from, could not anybody can understand that he lost his kind of.
Alright.
Well, what they mean is, are we servants of only Radharani? We are servants of both, but inclined more to Radharani, right?
Right.
Because we're going, not we, but Manjaris are arranging for Radha and Krishna to meet.
So that Krishna can get pleasure, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, course, because Krishna is the light and soul of Radhika.
But
yeah.
He doesn't need
so
pleasure.
Then,
he is only pleasure.
So they are more Radharani's side. Manjari, they not even meet Krishna if Radharani desire that Krishna go and look Manjari and to touch his body or meeting.
No interest.
Don't do like that.
I was hearing a lecture on Bhagavad Gita a couple of days ago by Prabhupada. No, it wasn't Bhagavad Gita. It was Radharani's birthday. And he was trying to cover it up, you know, all the glories of Radharani, because he was talking to brand new people, us. But he said that Radharani is the source of all spiritual inspiration. And he said, we have no interest to take shelter of Krishna directly.
Yes.
We take shelter of Krishna's potency, Radharani.
So
same thing, but for beginners. So take shelter means, you know, dancing, bracing, whatever the case may be, in that highest realm. Gurudev once was speaking to an ISKCON devotee who had questions about this, and he said, if Krishna wants to embrace Sri Rupa Manjari, she'll say, this is not going to give you the greatest pleasure, and it's not going to give me the greatest pleasure. The thing that's going to give both of us the greatest pleasure is if you embrace Radharani. So I'm not going to even bother, and just don't even come near me.
That is the speciality of Manjari.
That's the speciality. Are there any other questions? Because we're finishing now. And then now we can have, because I'm not leaving till Wednesday, so if you like, we can continue this reading tomorrow evening. Would you like to do that? Do you have time? Huh? Yeah, well, you can continue reading if you want. We've been doing it for an hour.
Could you tell gist of brief samples?
Why? Gist. I want to. Then finish.
No,
we can
then they will not come. they will be killed. What will we do now? We must come.
That's a good idea. Huh?
Suspense should be.
Suspense.
Remain, yeah.
Yeah. Prabhupada used to do that in the beginning. In 1966, at the end of the year, he was giving classes on Sanatana Shiksha. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. And Mahaprabhu would go to his spiritual master and say, what is this mantra that you've given me that's driven me mad, where I see this, the mantra turns into this blue boy. So tomorrow we will hear what his guru replied.
Maharaj also giving, like the spinning that, oh, Maharaj, what tomorrow?
Right, that's good. Okay, so is there any last question? We'll definitely finish tomorrow.
You can explain what is the meaning of Samput.
Samput means, you can explain.
No, you.
Samput means,
she puts you on the spot.
Samput means locket or treasure chest, and a treasure chest is generally locked.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the mysterious things about a treasure chest.
Mm-hmm.
So, the reason that Krishna ultimately had to come as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is because the treasure chest of Radha's love, the glory of it, was locked. And no matter what he would do, like he would do things like this to hear about it. But even hearing about it wasn't fully satisfying, although it gave him unlimited ecstasy, you'll see. Because he wanted to fully experience it. And the nature of her love, it's called Swasambeda Dasha, or Yavat Ashraya Viti, which means, Yavat Ashraya Viti means Yavat, who surrenders to that person that has that Swasambeda Dasha, that highest love that could only be understood by one who experiences it. Even if you try to deliberate on it, or you don't try and deliberate on it, you hear it, you talk about it, nothing that you do will make you understand it, like you said. Try and understand. Until you have it, then you got, only then can you understand. So Javada Ashraya Vritti means, Ashraya means shelter. To the proportion that one takes shelter of the person who has that kind of love, it comes from that person who has it into the person who's taken shelter. So in other words, you experience it, you're there, and then you could understand it. So Radharani tries to explain her Prem Samput, her love locket. She explains it to Krishna. That's why he's acting like this, just to get her to tell about her love for Krishna. And she's also explaining that this love is such a thing. She said, you should stay and live with me forever, otherwise you'll never understand what I'm telling you. Because deliberating on it, not deliberating on it, anything you do, you'll never get it until you have it, until you experience it. So you have to stay with me always, and then I can share everything with you.
How beautiful.
And on the level of us, Gurudev always says that Prabhupada's books are like a treasure chest, which is locked, and the key is in the hand of the Mahabhagavat. So only he can help us understand the meanings. In that regard, we were in Berlin, and it was Rath Yatra time. And you know the book, The Origin of Rath Yatra? I hope you all can get that book in mass, because I know you'll sell them all at the Rath Yatra festival, because everybody's mind's going to be Rath Yatra. You can contact Vishwambar Prabhu.
Vishwambar.
Yeah, is that who you said?
Hmm?
That's the name you said?
Yeah,
Vishwambar. And he can send you them. Yeah. So in Berlin, Gurudev said, okay, The Origin of Rath Yatra just came out. It had just been published. So Gurudev said, if you want to understand everything about my teachings about Rath Yatra, everything, just read this book. But if you want to realize what's in the book, then you have to come to me personally. So, any other last question?
So, are we meeting tomorrow?
If you like, I am. I can, because I postponed my ticket for a day. So, like, is 7 o'clock?
What time?
Is 7 o'clock good? Or is that too late? 7 is good? Because people work?
Mm-hmm.
All right, how about 7? Okay. Okay, so 7 o'clock it starts. Okay, Gaur Premanandi, Hare Krishna. Little kirtan, 2 minute kirtan, 2 minute kirtan. Hindu Bhusan, wanna play? Who sings here?
Didi, you just said about that locket, but then you were saying until you realize that your own, like, you know, where you come from, if you have gone through for that part, then you can feel it the same.
No, only when you come to the, only when you come to that level of prem,
right,
by full surrender to Guru and advancing to Nistha, Ruchi, prem, man, when you get all through all those stages and you come to be a maidservant of Radharani, then you'll understand.
It's a self-realization, so
yeah, it requires that.
So you plan to finish the book?
Yeah,
tomorrow
we'll finish.
Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda. Thank you.
Krishna.